You're listening to God in the Raw Ministries. It's time to power up your week. Stay tuned for a powerful message from Prophetess Dr. Charmaine Gilpert. Be blessed.
The word today is entitled, Your Love and Your Enemy. Your love and your enemy. What do you do when your enemy is your heartbeat? What do you do when God removed the enemy and your heart bleeds and the pain refuses to stop? What is to be done when no one understands? I'm going to talk about a man of God that God says he has my own heart. But there is a question. What do you do when your love is your enemy? I'm talking to the house today. Be strong and be unmovable and know the God in whom you trust. Because I'm here to let you know, God does not fight with weaklings. I didn't say he didn't take care of them. God said when you're going to battle, those that are feeble and weak in heart, in other words, those that are terrified of the battle, send them home. Not your neighbor and said, fear is contagious. Depression is contagious. 2 Samuel chapter 18. Start at the verse 8. I want to bring you up to speed. How King David was thrust off his throne and had to run into the wilderness for his life. And it was because of his heartbeat. Your love and your enemy. So there was war, a civil war. This was not a foreign enemy comes in and attack. This is an inward infiltration. For the battle was there scattered over the face of all the country in Israel. All the different provinces. And the wood devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. When God is on your side, when God is fighting for you, you don't have to use your sword that much. Trees will be soldiers for you. Lord God, I'm trying to get some sad look off some faces. I want for you to sit upright, and I want for you to look like a soldier. I want for you to look like you know that you got this. The wood, the forest, and the sword did. So when God is fighting for you, come on now, come on now. And Absalom met the servant of David. Now Absalom is the son of David. The boy was handsome. As a matter of fact, the Bible didn't call him handsome. The Bible called him beautiful. He was so beautiful. His hair grew long. I don't know if he was a dreadlock. But he only cut his hair once per year. And when he cuts it, it weighs so much. He was so handsome that he was able to use his good looks to entice the people in the gate. And so he took the kingdom from his father. Remember now, of all David's sons, David loved Absalom more than any other son. But the boy was a brute. And not only did he drive his father off the throne, he slept with his father's wives on top of the roof so that all Israel could see. Somebody say, what a son. What a son to love. But yet, his father loved him. I want you to listen to the word. Listen to the word today. And it says, and Absalom met the servant of David. And Absalom rode upon a mule. And the mule went under a thick bark of a great oak. And his head caught hold of the oak. Which simply means, I believe that the man was a dreadlock. Are you listening to what I'm trying to say to you? So his locks get caught by the oak tree. Are you with me in the room today? And he was taken up between the heaven and the earth. And the mule that he rode upon, he said that that sat under him. The mule that he rode upon went away from underneath him. And a certain man saw it and told Joab. Now I love Joab because Joab was a man of war. And when it was told to Joab, listen, mark you. David warned them, do nothing to the young man. This is war. And my son is against me. But when you find my son, don't touch him. Don't hurt him. Lord, anybody love their children like that?
Yes.
Come on, mothers. Yes, we love our children like that. We love our children. We love them like that. We love them like that. All right, let me see where I am on the screen so I can move easily. Here. Next verse. And a certain man saw it and told Joab and said, behold, I saw Absalom hang in an oak. Go on. And Joab said unto the man, what told him? And behold, thou sawest him, and why didst thou not smite him there to the ground? Why you didn't hurt him? Why you did not kill him? And listen, and I would have given thee shekels of silver and a girdle. And the man said unto Joab, though I should receive 1,000 shekels of silver in mine hand, yet would I not put forth my hand against the king's son. For in your hearing, the king charged thee, and the king also charged Abishai and Attai, saying, beware that none touch the young man Absalom. You listen to what I'm trying to say to you today? But listen, when God anoints you, you see what I'm talking about? Some of us is babying the problem. And I'm here today to tell you to put a missile in it. Because God have anointed you to do so. Or somebody ought to praise him right there. Said so somebody ought to praise God right there. Next verse. We're going somewhere. Otherwise, I should have wrought falsehood against my own life. For there is no matter hid from the king, and thou thyself wouldest have set thyself against me. You see how some of us quick to take action? I'm telling you, it might be right, but you are not anointed to do it. You see, this is a problem that we have. Because everybody think that they're anointed to do something. But I'm telling you, when the right person that is anointed to do it show up, not even the king can do a thing about it. Oh, Lord God, somebody shout, oh, behave yourself and know your time. And some of us like to put forth our hand against people. Against the pastor's children. Watch yourself now. Watch yourself. Then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. And he took 3 darts in his hand, and he thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the mid of the oak. And 10 men, I want to show you how bad Joab was. It took 10 men to carry his armor. What kind of man is this that it took 10 men to carry his armor? Come on now. And 10 men that bear Joab's armor come pass about and smote Absalom and slew him. So even when the 10 darts hit his heart, he was still breathing. But the 10 men came up and they silenced him. And Joab blew the trumpet. And the people returned from pursuing after Israel, for Joab held back the people. This is insurrection. Insurrection that Absalom has caused. And they took Absalom and cast him into a great pit in the wood, and lay a great heap of stone upon him. And all Israel fled, everyone to his tent, because they knew that it was David's heartbeat. What do you do? Your love and your enemy. Come on now. Come on now. Somebody come on now and said, Lord God, protect the borders of my heart. Lord, protect the borders of my heart. We're still going somewhere. Now get over to chapter 19. Then said Ahimaaz. No. That was not the right verse. Okay, thank you. And it was told Joab, behold, the king weepeth and mourneth for Absalom, your love and your enemy. Your love and your enemy. And the victory that day was turned into mourning unto all the people. For the people heard say that day how the king was grieved for his son. Jump to verse 4. But the king covered his face, and the king cried with a loud voice, "Oh, my son! Oh, my son Absalom! Oh, Absalom, my son! My son!" Lift your voice and shout, "Your lover, your love, and your enemy." I wonder why some of us are so easy to hate. You say that you love me. You say that we are friends. But the minute I offend you, you draw a line in the sand against me. You didn't love me. You nudge your neighbor and said, if that's the kind of love you have to offer, I don't need it. I don't want it. Come on now. I want the kind of love that, honey, even when I offend you, you're crying. You said, "Oh, Charmaine, oh, Charmaine." And Joab came into the house to the king and said, "Thou hast shamed this day the faces of all thy servants." I'm talking to somebody today. Not your name and say, "Take that look off your face. You're shaming your God." Come on, say, you're shaming the battalion. Because we believe that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And when God has given us the victory, we ought to rejoice. But David could not rejoice. And you know that David had the power to kill him. He was talking to the king. But he was anointed to talk to the king like that. He said, "You brought shame upon all those that have served you this day, which this day have saved thy life and the lives of your sons." In other words, king, you have other sons. Huh? And the one that seek to kill you and kill the rest of your sons and wipe out your servants, you're here giving a pity party. And out of thy daughters and the lives of thy wives and the lives of thy concubines. Come on now. Come on now. In that thou lovest thine enemies and hatest thy friends. Anybody catching this?
Yes.
Because some of us, well, you think that you hate your problem, you love your problem.
Yes.
And you hate victory. Because what you need to do to obtain the victory, you don't want to do it. You want to cradle your problem. You want to sit there and say, "Woe is me," when the power in you to rise up and have dominion and power and authority over it. You have the power to speak to that situation. You have a power to put a dart in the heart of your problem. But you choose not to. I am your Joab today. Get up from that place. And don't just save you. Save those that are associated with you. Oh God. Because if you obtain the victory, some people are going to obtain the victory just because of you. I wish somebody would praise God right there. There are some people that some of us hang out with. I'm telling you, if we ever just make that elbow turn, they'll make it with you. You have influence.
Yes.
Somebody's counting on you.
That's it.
And he said that you love your enemy and you hate your friend. For thou hast declared this day that thou regardest neither prince nor servants. For this day I perceive that if.
Yes.
Move it along. Absalom had lived and all we had died this day, then it had pleased. please thee well. Why this word today? God is about to take out somebody. God is about to take out some things out of our lives. And the question is, are you ready for it? You've been praying and you've been crying. And you're saying, Lord, I need a change in my life. Are you ready when he removed the problem? When he removed the obstacle? Because I'm telling you, sometimes the obstacle is your love. Sometimes it is your heartbeat. What will you do then? Now therefore, go forth and speak comfortably. Now Joab became the king for a moment. Get up out of your sorrow. And go face the people. Not with a pity, sad face, but go speak comfortably to the people. Yes. And unto your servants, for I swear by the Lord, if thou goest not forth, they will not tarry one with thee this night. Come on now. And that will be worse unto thee than all the evil that befall thee from thy youth until now. If you don't get up, if you don't get yourself together, if you don't wash your face, if you don't begin to testify, if you don't begin to decree and declare that God is a greater trouble is going to come upon you. Because you see, some of us are hypocritical. God has done so much. And rather than testifying, we sit there and we're upset with God. Because you think that God has taken something precious from you. If you don't get up, if you don't get yourself together, if you don't wash your face, if you don't begin to testify, if you don't begin to decree and declare that God is a greater trouble is going to come upon you. Because you see, some of us are hypocritical. God has done so much. And rather than testifying, we sit there and we're upset with God because you think that God has taken something precious from you. You think we don't have testimonies in this house? You think we don't have a praise in this house? You think we don't have great testimonies on Zoom? Now who am I talking to? Wash your face and begin to speak. You see, Solomon says, death and life is in your tongue. Are you ready for deliverance and this holy Shabbat? You're ready for deliverance? It's under your tongue. It looks like I need to pour some oil in your mouth. We've been anointing the wrong place. We've been anointing your forehead. The deliverance is in your tongue. Oh, somebody get up on your out of your seat and said, Lord, I apologize. I will change my argument. God is a good God. Now, not your neighbor and say, hold on to your stuff. Because if I prophesy to have it, you'll lose it. Oh, Lord. Oh, you think I'm joking? I'm telling you, stand up now and look at your problem. Stand up now and look at your situation. Somebody told me a story yesterday. Keep standing. About a young man that some girl married. Was to give him papers to stay in the country. The girl treated him so badly. And he's trying to get a divorce. And every lawyer that he turned to, they just bleed him dry. The young man had enough of it. And just went straight to immigration with no appointment. and just happened to speak to somebody, and he spoke to somebody, and they got a lawyer for him and gave him his papers. You see the problem we have. The problem we have, we won't kill our Absalom. There is no emboldenment. I feel the anointing. In your home, you got to speak to your bills. In your home, you have to speak to your rent. In your home, you've got to speak to your mortgage. And if your roof is coming off, speak. And so I stand today, Lord, I know it's going to hurt. Lord, Lord, put my mantle around my waist, Cass, and tie it. I know it's going to hurt, but I'm going to gird my waist, God, and I'm going to get ready to mourn, because you've got to take out Absalom. I refuse to run any farther. You've got to take out Absalom, God. Now begin to speak. Don't just stand there. I don't come to lay hand on you today. I come to give you an opportunity. And if you don't have anything to speak, speak over me. Speak for me. There's an Absalom of lack that is pursuing some of us. There's an Absalom that is trying to take your job. I just got a note. Somebody sent me a note saying, "Senior pastor, pray for me because I have a job and the job is helping me, but they're planning to give the job to somebody else." Kill that Absalom. Open your mouth. Put a dot in it and said, "Lord, I stand and I proclaim that I want this job." So do what you got to do. Because this job is providing for me. And I pray, God, you're a tither. And if you're not a tither, repent quickly and say, "Lord, give me this job and I will surely bring you the tenth." Now speak, man. Speak. Because the money has got to show up to fix that roof. The money has got to show up for that rent this month. The money has got to show up for the mortgage. The money has got to show up. You just got to speak it. It just got to show up. It just had to show up. Hallelujah. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. Now, I double dare you to tell God, "I'm coming back next week, Sabbath, with a testimony." Say that which I'm speaking at this altar right now. Say God, if you shift it, God, if you shift, God, God, if you shift it, I will be unashamed to testify. God, I will come out of my tent and I will come before your people and I will speak comfortably.
Thank you for joining God in the Raw Ministries. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Be sure to like, share, and subscribe. Partner with God in the Raw by calling 1-888-914-6346. Again, that number is 1-888-914-6346. And be a part of this magnificent movement. Until next time.